The good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, yea, who was contented even to die for his flock, this good shepherd is risen again. This is the responsory taken from the third nocturne of the official prayer of the church called Matins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Lord today is presented throughout all of the liturgy as the good shepherd, and we his little flock, who are meant to follow him everywhere. And he leaves his footprints for us to follow, just in case we decide to stray a little bit. Do you notice, too, that in the liturgy of today's Mass and Divine Office, that with all of this glory of the resurrection and the thought of heaven, Holy Mother Church does not want us to stop thinking about the sufferings of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. She is today, throughout all of her prayers, reminding us of all of these sufferings. We are meant, then, to follow our Lord from Good Friday and the sufferings and pains of this life to the Easter resurrection and the glorious resurrection of our own body on the last day. And speaking of sufferings, one aspect of our Lord's passion that we so seldom think about is the crowning with thorns. We think of our Lord trudging up Mount Calvary with his cross on his shoulder. We think of him being nailed to the cross. But so often we forget the most humiliating of all, perhaps, that of the crowning with thorns, when he was mocked as a king before all the soldiers. St. Louis, he was the king of France and a wonderful saint. He thought it was an honor when the crown of thorns was offered to his kingdom as a precious relic. So he walked out with bare feet. Imagine this, a king decked out in all of his fancy clothes. He goes out to meet the crown of thorns with bare feet. And he would then carry this relic back in a triumphant and most glorious procession into his kingdom. For him to carry that crown of thorns was a great honor. And then, though there have been many a saint who felt it an honor not merely to carry a crown of thorns in procession, but actually to wear it on their very brow or in their hearts. We think of Little Rose Farron. I think Father McKenna had preached on her once, a stigmatist and mystic from Woonsocket, Rhode Island, in about the early 1900s or so, if I'm not mistaken. She wore the crown of thorns mystically on her forehead, and she would oftentimes suffer all of the pains of our Lord in his agony. And it is his passion. She would suffer them on her body. But the crown of thorns was to be seen there. Or we think of St. Rita. Her feast is coming up in just over a month, May 22nd. St. Rita, the saint of impossible cases. She bore it in her heart, they say. She was a married person. And so, married people, I speak to you more than anyone else today, but the rest of you will get something or other out of this sermon today, I hope, because it's applicable to all. But married people, how much, when you stop and think about it, do you bear this crown of thorns, a thorn that just pierces and hurts and almost makes you fall to your knees in pain, be it spiritual pain or physical pain, but you bear it in your heart? Do you, like King Louis, think it to be an honor or something to be cast out and gotten rid of just as fast as you can? You wear this crown in every trial, in every setback, every pain and every care that happens to you. Perhaps for you in particular, you have children that have broken your heart completely in two because they first broke the commandments of God, or maybe they have pierced your already broken heart when they ripped your family in half by division and by rebellion. Or maybe it is that you simply live as until death do you part with a husband who is a tyrant, or with a wife who can be somewhat overbearing. You have many trials in your married life, but don't lose heart. You have the Good Shepherd leading you, and he would not expect you to go anywhere that he has not already been. And besides that, our Lord, as you'll see in about two more weeks in the Sunday Mass, our Lord promises you a comforter, that is, the Holy Ghost to console you, as well as Our Lady of Consolation, who more than anyone else knows what suffering is all about. But we sometimes make crosses, or in this case, weave our little crowns of thorns for ourselves. By breaking the commandments, we do this and cause much interior strife and struggling for ourselves, and we disturb God's order in our soul and in society whenever we sin. And there can be no peace where the order of God is destroyed, because as St. Thomas says, peace is defined as the tranquility of order. When order is destroyed in any way, there is no peace. You notice it from just even the most mundane, natural things. If you go into a room that's all cluttered and dirty dishes everywhere, you're not going to feel much peace. And the worse that mess gets, the more internally you feel it. Because peace comes from it is the tranquility of order. Order brings about peace. Or if you teach in a classroom and all the kids are chaotic and jumping out of their seats, you will have no peace. It's when the classroom is ordered. And the same goes for the soul. If you're obeying the commandments of God and living up to His will, you will always, even in the midst of the greatest sufferings, you will always be able to experience a deep supernatural peace. But even if we are the cause of our crosses at times by violating God's law, don't ever lose courage. Saint Rita, her life is a perfect example for family life and an encouragement to all sorts of families, especially falling apart families. Do you know her story? I've told it here before. A couple of times, actually. Do you know the story of Saint Rita? She wanted to be a nun, but she obeyed her parents' request that she should marry. And so, at the age of 12, in those days, the children got married quite early. It was permitted. So at age 12, she married a man that was much unlike herself. She was very virtuous. She was known for her great charity towards others, and she was a peacemaker. She would be able to cure the divisions between two people and the like. But her husband, on the other hand, was very irreligious, given over to cruelty and anger and all sorts of vices. And in the 18 years of their marriage, he was the cause of much suffering for Rita. When he would speak to her, it was with harsh words, not the loving words owed to a wife. And whenever Rita spoke, he would fly into a rage of anger. Whatever she did, no matter how good it was, whatever she did only caused him to become excessively angry. he was far, far from being the support for his wife that he should have been, and fulfilling that secondary end of marriage of being the mutual support of your spouse. He would spend money foolishly in gambling, and then when he would give money to Rita to spend for the household, he would always accuse her of being a spendthrift. And he pierced her loving heart with all sorts of insults, and sometimes it is said he would even physically abuse her. That is the sort of marriage that she endured for 18 years of her life. And truly, if no one else in the world ever bore the crown of thorns in their heart, Saint Rita did. So married couple, maybe a little examination of conscience here for you. How do you treat your spouse? Charitably and kindly, or impatiently? Or how do you react to a misbehaving spouse? When your spouse misbehaves, do you just keep the fight going somehow and pushing them over the edge even more? Are you pretty good about being a peacemaker like a Saint Rita, who's always looking towards the ultimate good, which is not convincing someone that I'm right, but rather getting them to realize where they have gone wrong, but silently and by prayers and good examples? But I ask you here, all of you, to imagine that you are in the place where Saint Rita was, receiving such unjust punishments from your spouse, the one person on earth whom you love the most. Would you have had the courage, the fortitude of the Holy Ghost to push through all of those sufferings, all of that unjust treatment, and to persevere to the end of your life in that marriage? If you say no, then I ask you, what has become of those vows that you took before the altar of Almighty God when you said, through richer for poorer, till death do us part? Would you be able, if you were in Rita's position, would you be able to remain silent in the face of all that unjust treatment? Or would you be able to speak edifying words and gentle words that were meant to calm the raging storm of your spouse's soul and to calm the beating waves? And if not, then what has become of the duty you have to help and not to hinder the sanctification and salvation of your spouse? You are not there to prove that you are right, nor to prove that your spouse is wrong. You are there simply to help your spouse to heaven. That is the secondary end of the sacrament of matrimony. Saint Rita endured, like a good Catholic and a good wife, she endured all of this for 18 years, all of it in silence, until finally her husband died. He didn't die of natural causes. He died at the hands of a murderer. You see, back in those days in Italy, they had what was known as the vendetta. It was something like the Hatfields and McCoys, only more Italian, you might say. And where there's generation after generation of families that were feuding and killing one another in the streets. And so he was killed by one of the enemy families, but he was converted before his death. He saw a priest and received the sacraments, and it was all because Saint Rita knew what marriage was all about. Not proving myself right, but getting my spouse to heaven. And so for those 18 years, she endured all with silence and she endured all with much prayer and many sacrifices offered for her cruel husband. And in the end, when he was gasping for air, for that last breath, she won by her prayers the grace of conversion for her husband. But the crown of thorns was not to be taken out of St. Rita's heart just yet. Her sons then would keep going with this vendetta, this vengeance. And now they decided to take vengeance on their father's murder. We all know the heartache caused by watching our children live lives of mortal sin. And that was the heartache that Rita experienced. And she spoke to them. She pleaded with them to give up their idea of revenge. And by prayers and sacrifices, she attempted to convince her sons to give up any idea of this murder. But all was to no avail. And so, just when many of us would have given up on those boys, the saint of the impossible, as she's called, she just gave it all to God, put it all in his hands, and asked God, do not let my boys commit this sin. Prayer was answered in a very mysterious way. The boys died within the year, both of them. They never did commit that sin, but they died again with the sacraments of the church. They died holy deaths and are now, we hope, in heaven. But that crown of thorns, just as it was given to St. Rita, so it's placed around our hearts so many times in life, and it suffocates us. It hurts us, and it causes much pain. But we always have to ask ourselves if it is something to be gotten rid of, or if it's a sign of God's loving care for us. I want to end with a few points to explain why there's pain, and to explain to you, give you some thoughts to help you through whatever it is today and tomorrow and the next day that causes you so much agony. The first principle is this: no one suffers well because he's a saint. Rather, he becomes a saint because he learns to suffer well. We often get that backwards in our minds. We think, well, I can't bear this cross because I'm not a saint. I can't do this, I can't do that because I'm not a saint. No, but your sufferings will help you to learn how to become a saint. Secondly, the cross and suffering is a gift and a grace from God, which is reserved primarily for those whom God loves the most. He sends it in order to detach our hearts from this earth. Because who wants to live forever in a place where there is suffering? Nobody. So he allows us to suffer here. He permits it so that we always look forward to heaven. Thirdly, think of the quote of St. Therese, confidence. It is the hand of Jesus that guides all things, all of your sufferings included. And fourthly, perhaps more importantly, the soul who has not God has nothing. Sinners who suffer with the cross have no peace, either on the inside or on the out, because they know, they can at least sense, that they are not pleasing to God. And so they have all of these sufferings on the outside coming to them, sickness and everything else, and then the suffering of knowing they're displeasing to God on the inside. But those who have sanctifying grace in their soul can bear all things patiently and with a smile too, because they know they have the friendship of God. And if they keep the friendship of God, they know that eternal bliss is for them. But one last thought on suffering. We see how God was treated, God the Son. He had to endure his Good Friday, but 3 days later he rose glorious in his body. And he is now seated at the right hand of his Father, with his wounds still present, but in a glorious form. And for us too, it will be the same. We must go through our Good Friday, but it's short, relatively speaking. And eventually, your body will rise from the grave. And our Lord, when you get to the gates, will say, I'll ask for your ticket. But your ticket will be the wounds of your hands. No longer the wound of sin on your soul, but the wounds of your hands, which you got from fighting against so many temptations and enduring so much suffering for the love of Almighty God. Let these thoughts sink in today, and let us remember that we have a good shepherd who, while he expects us to trod the path of suffering, he always went before. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.